Psalm 119, 59, 60. I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119, 59, 60. I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to be thy commandments. Psalm 119, 59, and 60. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. There we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Romans 12, 15. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Romans 12, 15. Children, please stand for Bible class. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Over the past weeks, as all of you know, we've made a detour into the book of Jeremiah and spent some time there with several messages. But we're coming back now to our study that we've been in for a number of months, and that is the magnificent book of Ephesians. Today, I would ask you to turn to Ephesians 4:25. We'll be looking at that verse, but we'll also be backing up just a little bit to Ephesians 4:24. It's a wonderful privilege for us to be able to study God's Word. We have the magnificent and wonderful opportunity to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's our reason for being here. That has been our purpose and reason for the ministry of Grace Bible Church for the years. And that is that we've been able to study God's Word consistently and faithfully, that we might be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint. This verse of Scripture today, along with Ephesians 4:24, will be verses that will help us to see the importance of being always on the right track of utilizing the Word of God, magnifying Jesus Christ. May we pray together, please. Again, Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to study. We pray that you will guide us in these moments, that we may be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you're going to see Ephesians 4:25. You're going to see in just a few moments Ephesians 4:24. Let's look first of all at Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak truth every man to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Ephesians 4:25 is a magnificent verse in relationship to the importance of recovery of vertical viewpoint. Most of you are aware of the fact that over the years, we've been emphasizing the ability of the believer to see from a divine viewpoint, to see from God's viewpoint, to understand what God's Word says in relationship to the various subjects of life. This verse of Scripture emphasizes recovery, a vertical viewpoint, which results in spiritual production. The verse begins like this: wherefore, putting away lying, speak truth, each man to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. When I look at this verse, Ephesians 4:25, I see that there's an emphasis upon the importance of a believer putting away some things, putting on some things. We'll see that in verse 24. But you'll notice here it says, put away lying. And the emphasis there is on a continuous basis. The subject produces the action of the verb, and the imperative mood is the mood of command. God is saying through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers and to us today that we have the responsibility of putting away those things which are untrue, false, lying. And he says then, speak truth, each man, to his neighbor. What I've done is taken a look at this word speak, and I've discovered that it is a word which emphasizes the importance of a believer being able to utilize God's word on a consistent and frequent basis. If you'll notice that the word is a present tense, which means continuous action. The active voice says the subject produces the action, and the imperative mood is the mood of command. So it says, speak truth, each man, to his neighbor. We've been aware of the fact that we looked at Ephesians 4:25, but also we've looked back at Ephesians 4:24. This verse also now is on the screen for you to see. We've analyzed the verse. We've exegeted it in the past. Only thing now, we take just a few moments to review. The scripture says that you put on the new man. That you put on the new man. The new man means to have a proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be saved by grace. To be thinking God's thoughts. To have the ability to see as God sees. And so we have an emphasis here upon the fact that this emphasizes a point of time in history. The aorist tense emphasizes a point of time. The middle voice emphasizes the fact that the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. I pause with you for a moment to take a look at that. We've studied in the past about the middle voice. We've learned that when you look at a word in the Greek and you discover that it's in the middle voice, it emphasizes the fact that the subject participates in the action. And if the subject is positive, the subject means that the individual receiving that is going to be benefited. If you notice that the subject matter there is negative, it means that the person is not benefited thereby. What we have here is an emphasis upon the positive. And it says that if we are putting on this new man on a continuous basis, which simply means we've trusted the Lord, He saved us by His grace, we're continually thinking about those things which are eternal, then we are benefited thereby. I notice also that the verb here is in the infinitive mood. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. So I want to rush through this, but I also want you to remember what the emphasis here is. That you, on a daily basis, as a believer in Jesus Christ, having put on once and for all the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now you have a responsibility to allow Jesus Christ to be the ruler, master of your life on a day-by-day basis. So we have a point of time, middle voice, infinitive mood, and that you put on the new man, according to God, is created in righteousness and holiness of truth. One of the things that is a challenge to me, and that is a challenge to all of us as members of the royal family, and that is that we have a responsibility on a daily basis, if we allow ourselves to get out of harmony, away from God's plan, to understand the importance of spiritual recovery. So I'm going to emphasize for a few moments that word, recovery. You'll notice on the screen I have put up here, recovery, a vertical viewpoint. let's pause for a moment and see what we mean by vertical viewpoint. Vertical viewpoint simply means seeing as God sees. Vertical viewpoint means that we are able to learn from the Word of God over a continual basis. And as a result of those things which you've learned over a period of weeks, months, and years, we now are able to view life from a divine perspective. Oftentimes we find ourselves out of harmony, not in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we lose our touch with the reality of seeing from a divine perspective. When that happens to us, what happens is that we need to understand the importance of recovery. That's the reason why I put on the screen for you today the word recovery. I want you to be able to see recovery of vertical viewpoint results in spiritual production. I would encourage you somewhere to write that, or be sure that you remember those words. Recovery of vertical viewpoint results in spiritual production. Point one, sources of spiritual production is defined in the Word of God as intrinsic good. It is the Greek word agathos, which we've learned here many, many years ago. There's a Greek word for good called kalos, but there's another word which is agathos, which is the word for the intrinsic good or God's good. Sources of spiritual production emphasizes God's good. Good done by means of heavenly power. You'll see a subpoint here. What is necessary is the filling of the Holy Spirit. What you will also see, subpoint two, truth in the human spirit. Subpoint three, we'll come back and analyze these, is spiritual house of the soul, which simply means soul production by means of the utilization of the Spirit of God. Let's pause for a few moments and analyze what is being presented here. Sources of spiritual production, intrinsic good, God's good, done by heavenly power. When you and I take time out every single day to pray, to open the Word of God, and let the Word of God speak to our lives, we discover then that we're able to be in a position of receiving that which will enable us to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. We call that agathos, which is intrinsic good, God's good. Being able to understand, being able to comprehend those things that relate to us on a day-by-day basis and be able to see it as God would see it. And that is the Greek word agathos, divine good, intrinsic good, God's good. If you'll notice that we put here sources of spiritual production, this is done by heavenly power. I pause for a moment to let you see that God has given us a magnificent and marvelous system of learning. We call that the grace system of comprehension. The word comprehension is a good word. Most of us here in this auditorium today, and perhaps everyone listening to my voice, is aware of the fact of what the word comprehension means. Being able to comprehend, understand, see through, being able to understand the content of that which is being stated. God has given us the means which we call the grace system of comprehension. Let me explain that for a few moments. I believe that everyone here understands, but let me explain it anyway. The reason why we spend a few moments in prayer when we open our hearts to the Word of God is that we want to allow the Spirit of God to let us be able to comprehend and see those things which are of spiritual value to us. Comprehension simply means that God has given us a system which we call the grace system. to be able to see what God is actually saying to us. That's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our Bible study. That's the reason why we would encourage you, when you open your Bible at home, when you begin to study, that you spend a few moments to be sure that you are right with God, that you're in harmony with Him, that you're in fellowship with Him, so that you'll be able to comprehend spiritual truths for your soul. It's magnificent and see that we are then the recipients of God's heavenly power. It comes as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the ability to utilize the comprehension system, grace system of comprehension. It's amazing to me to realize that if I've traveled in the Word of God over a period of weeks and months and years, and I open the Word of God and I find myself in harmony with Jesus Christ, it is then that I'm able to comprehend a certain percentage of spiritual truth that is being presented as I study the Word of God. The same thing is true when we come into the auditorium. When we come in here, we spend a few moments in prayer. The reason for that is that we want to be sure that we are moving aside all the various distractions of life and that we are in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That the opening is totally open. The door is totally abroad. How can I say it? In other words, that we've opened wide the door so that we are now in a position of receiving, because we are in harmony with Jesus Christ, we are in a position to receive a percentage of spiritual truth for our souls. It's always amazing to me when I think in terms of this. I'm aware of the fact that the percentage of truth received when a person is in harmony with Jesus Christ is such a magnificent blessing. Based upon spiritual truths in your soul of past weeks and days and months and years, it gives you a larger ability, a comprehension ability that may move that ability to comprehend truth from 10% to 15% to 20% to 30% to 40%. I'm not really sure. All I'm trying to do is to let you see that based on previous studies of the Word of God in fellowship and the fact that you now have come to a point where you're ready to hear the message like you are now, or that you're studying the Bible alone at home and you're in harmony with Jesus Christ, the percentage of your comprehension ability increases as a result of what has taken place in your life in previous weeks and months and days. We're talking about the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about truth in your human soul and human spirit in past days. We're talking about the fact that over the past weeks and months and years, you have been building a spiritual house of your soul. We've analyzed this many times over the past years. It's always thrilling to me when I think in terms of how many years you and I have been together and how we've studied God's Word on a daily basis. We have been able to see and we've been able to study through many books of the Word of God. And what this does is it results in soul production by the Spirit. Number one, again, sources of spirit production, good, intrinsic good, done by heavenly power, which means that we understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to receive truth in the human spirit. We comprehend the meaning of a spiritual house of the soul. We appreciate soul production by means of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number two, spirit production resolves the conflict in which you and I find ourselves in. We call this the conflict of the ages. We call this the angelic conflict. We find this emphasized in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Let me just give it to you. It's on the screen. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In Romans chapter 12, verse 21, we have some of the most powerful words that you can find in the New Testament. Two of those words, one is evil, the other is good. Two powerful words indeed. Last Wednesday night, in the last few sessions, we've been emphasizing the old sin nature and the power of the old sin nature. We've emphasized the fact that every individual has an old sin nature. We've emphasized the fact that you and I as believers have a determination and should have a determination to not allow the old sin nature to rule and master and control us. We realize that temptation comes to everyone. We've been made to realize that temptation itself is not the sin. But temptation, when we yield to that temptation, it results in the old sin nature's control. Volition is a magnificent and marvelous gift from God. And you and I, on a daily basis, have the responsibility of utilizing choice, volition, when temptation comes. We can say no to the temptation, and when we say no to the temptation, we're moving that temptation aside. And we're continuing to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be manifested in our lives. We've also learned in recent days that when that temptation comes our way, if we say yes to that temptation, then immediately we're moved outside of fellowship with Jesus Christ and under the control of our old sinful nature. When we're under the control of the old sinful nature, there are some things that take place. We will be either grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. How many times have we looked at that? Many, many times. How many times do we need to see it? Many, many times. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we're out of harmony, out of fellowship. And that takes place in every believer's life. When the believer chooses by his own, her own choice to say yes to the temptation from the old sinful nature coming our way. If a person continues to follow the control of the old sinful nature, not only are they grieving the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says that they can come to the point where they're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. So they move from the point of grieving to the point of quenching the Holy Spirit. What does a quenching of the Holy Spirit mean? It means that they are continually, constantly following the direction of their old sinful nature. How sad and tragic that is. Spiritual production then resolves the angelic conflict. Because the scripture says, and I repeat Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil by means of intrinsic good. What point two tells us is there's only one way, really, to be victorious and triumphant in life, and that is to overcome evil with intrinsic good. I feel like I need to expound a little bit. Would y'all let me do that, please? I need to expound a little bit on the fact that evil is a thinking process. Evil is satanic thinking. It is wrong thinking, improper thinking, false thinking, satanic thinking. That is something that we're captivated with and normally, if we're not careful, saturated with on a day-by-day basis. Because we are constantly being bombarded with a thinking process that is not godly. A thinking process that is not of God. We find this on television. We find this on the radio. We find this in the newspaper. We find this in daily conversation with individuals. We're living in a time when people are constantly seeing things that could be classified as evil. Wrong, improper thinking. How do we get rid of improper thinking? The only way we can get rid of improper thinking is to get a different type of thinking. And the only way we're going to get a different type of thinking is to get God's thinking. And that's the recovery of divine viewpoint. I think all of you are listening very attentively and carefully now, and you're able to see what is being presented today. The desire of the pastor is to let you see for himself and for all of us that if we are not following God's truth on a daily basis, we need to get to a point of recovery, recovery of divine viewpoint. Number three, spiritual production then comes as a result of an understanding of and utilization of this system that we call the grace system of comprehension. Spiritual production comes as a result of an understanding and also the utilization of this system which God has given us. Grace system of comprehension. Number four, while the believer is here on the earth, he or she is to produce by means of God's grace. That responsibility belongs to every individual in this auditorium today as a believer in Jesus Christ. Subpoint, emphasizing the fact that as a believer, we can produce by means of God's grace. Number five, spiritual production then is accompanied by stability. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 2 Thessalonians 2:17. Stability. Spiritual production then is accompanied by spiritual stability. And number six, spiritual production will be rewarded time and time again. It's amazing to me to be able to see that you and I were able to walk into this auditorium today as a result of the fact that you and I could pick up one foot, one leg, put the foot down, pick up the other, one step after another, we were able to make our way into this auditorium. When we were standing with one foot in the air and one foot on the ground, there had to be the ability to be stabilized. We're stabilized by understanding that God has given us the means by which we can understand that we have been born into His kingdom and we now have what is known as a new birth. That's the reason why when you go back to Ephesians 4:24, it says again, and I repeat, that you put on the new man. We've done it as far as salvation is concerned, but the emphasis now is on recovery. If we're out of harmony, out of fellowship, we need to be realizing the importance of recovery. Middle voice means that we participate in the action and will be benefited thereby. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire, which simply means that we have the responsibility to desire a right relationship to Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, this verse says, according to God is created in righteousness, a beautiful Greek word, dikaiosune, and holiness of truth. Our verse of scripture today, as we've already seen, says, put away those things that are improper. Aorist tense, at a point of time. Middle voice will be benefited if we put those things aside. Then it says, and I've analyzed this quite a bit because I realize that it sounds like that this verb is in the imperative mood. But I checked it and I realized that it's a present active indicative verb, laleo. Let me analyze that with you for a few moments. Even though when I looked at it, I thought that has to be an imperative verb. But I checked and it's present active indicative. What does that mean? It simply means that once we are properly related to Jesus Christ, we have the responsibility of speaking in the light of what we know, in the light of what we've conceived because of our comprehension of truth. Present tense means continuous action. It is God's plan for every believer to live a recovered life on a moment-by-moment basis. That's the reason why it's present tense. And the active voice says each individual has the responsibility of doing this. And then when I looked at it again, I saw the indicative mood, and that is the mood of reality. Boy, you talk about powerful, important. God's plan is for the believer to understand that we are to speak truth, each born-again believer, to those with whom we find ourselves on a daily basis. And the reason is that we're members of the family of God. I realize that I am so anxious to get to this second session today. I made plans for this second session because I realize that one of the things that may or may not be a characteristic of your life, and I want to deal with it for just a little while in the second session, and that is the subject of anger. We're going to be looking at that subject in the second session, but I'm introducing it right now to let you see that there's one thing that I never do, and that is get angry. If you really believe that, stand on your head and sack BBs. There's one thing that I know about you, and I don't know you all that well, but there's probably one thing that I know about you, is that you never get angry. I'm saying all that to introduce to you the fact that we're going to deal with a subject that I believe needs to be studied. And we'll see that in verse 26. Because it says there, be angry and sin not. You've been wondering about that verse, haven't you? But before we go to that break and before we go to that second session, let me come back to this verse. Wherefore, putting away lying, recover divine viewpoint. And when you do, speak truth, each man to his neighbor. The reason for that is we have been born into God's family. We're members one of another. I'm always amazed when I find beautiful Greek words. The Greek word that I'm seeing now in my own mind, and I'm letting you see it, is the Greek word Allah, A-L-L-A. It is the Greek word that you can see right here is a part of this word, A-L-L-E-L-O-N. And it is one another, members one another of the same kind. That word actually means one another of the same kind. What I'm here to do is to tell you that in this auditorium now, every individual, I believe, has been born into God's kingdom because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. He saved you. Heaven is your eternal home. And we're members, one another, of the same kind. That's the meaning of that word. We're members, one another, of the same kind. Therefore, we as members one another of the same kind have the responsibility of doing what I classify as walking spiritually. Walking, understanding a biblical concept. When I go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 4, I read, walk with me. Walk with me. When I go to Galatians 5:16, I read, walk in the Spirit. When I go to Ephesians 5:2, I read, walk in love. When I go to Romans 8:1, I read, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is all this saying to us? This is saying that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to be what we classify as echo zone believers. And echo zone believers, number one, will walk consistently with the Lord. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what your lifestyle is, on a daily basis you have a desire to walk consistently with the Lord. That's the echo zone believer. You're not to be classified as a moribund. Some of you may ask now, what is the meaning of the word moribund? A moribund Christian is one on the verge of becoming obsolete, one who's stagnant, one who has no vigor, one who's not advancing, one who could be heading down the road to the sin and to death, a moribund believer. Again, when I go to Revelation 3:4, we have an emphasis there upon a remnant of non-defiled, truly committed believers walking with the Lord. And when I look at this, I discover that these folk are locked in and traveling God's highway of grace. The question that I have for you and for myself is, are we locked in and are we traveling the highway of God's grace? Are we walking, which means walking is the word used in the New Testament to reveal a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 2 through 4. Walking describes living one day at a time, Romans 14, 5. In walking, there has to be balance, which we've already mentioned today. Balance of soul is determined by a consistent diet of spiritual food. I haven't the time to give you all of these verses, but look at how powerful we have verses that emphasize all of these points. Walking describes living one day at a time, Romans 14, 5 and 6. Walking means balance in Philippians 3, 7, Colossians 2, 6. Walking describes God's system of learning, Ephesians 5, 15. We're to be on guard to walk circumspectly. There are areas of walking, and I have to close with this. Walk in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Walk in faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk in the truth of the Word of God, 3 John 3. Number 9, the Bible declares that some walk as enemies of the cross. That's one of the saddest things that you can read in the Bible, for people to be enemies of the cross. We are not to be rebellious. We're not to be non-perceptive to the living Christ and the living Word. The Bible uses the word walk to reveal a maturing Christian. And there are verses that describe this. We are ones who walk in the light. 1 John 1:7. We walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4. We walk worthy of our vocation. Ephesians 4:1. We walk in good works. Ephesians 2:10. God has provided everything needed for a successful, fruitful, abundant, victorious life. Recovery. That's the emphasis. Recovery. If we find ourselves as a believer out of harmony, we must know that God has provided the means of recovery so that we can get back in right relationship with our Savior, and we can continue our spiritual advance so that we can have divine vertical perspective. May we pray together, please. We want to close our service today in these last few moments to tell you again how wonderful it is to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and that God has given us the means by which we can live a victorious, triumphant, magnificent life. There may be someone hearing this voice today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I would not want to close without assuring you that that doesn't have to be a continual thing in your life. In your lost condition, you can be saved today. Jesus Christ loves you. He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man and go to the cross to die and pay for your sins, to pay for all of our sins. And what we have to do is accept His gift of salvation. That's the reason why the Bible says that Jesus is the way of salvation. To accept Him is to accept life. And that's the reason why the Bible says if you have Him, you have life. If you don't have Him, you don't have life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's you. If you've never done that, whosoever, that's you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so or maybe so, shall be. You can do that now. I would encourage you to trust Him. Father, thank You so much today for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.